You are listening to a podcast brought to you by the Global Roots Project. The partners of Global Roots have interviewed experts in the crossfield between art and culture, sustainability, global citizenship, and primary education. These interviews give you a state-of-the-art review. And now, here's one of them. Welcome to this podcast, where we are in a small attic room at Kulturprinsen in Viborg, Denmark. I am here today with the two members of Fridays for Future in Viborg. This is Emilie Overgaard and Siri Skov Hansen. Welcome to both of you. Now I would like to hear who you are, and can you make a short presentation of yourself?
Yes, my name is Siri. And I'm 18 years old. I'm a student at Viborg Cathedral School. I'm on my third year there, and I've been an activist in Fridays for Future since 2019, I think.
Yeah, and I'm Emilie. I'm 18 years old, and I'm also from Viborg Cathedral School, and I'm also I'm my third year, and I'm new to Fridays for Future. I started this year, so yeah, I'm new to this.
Can you tell me a little bit about what is Fridays for Future?
It's a global movement consisting mostly of young people who want the world leaders and the people in power to take the climate crisis seriously and act on it, make serious and radical climate action.
Yeah, we fight for climate justice for everyone, yeah.
And how did you get involved? What motivated you to get involved?
Firstly, Greta Thunberg in 2018, when she demonstrated, I saw a lot of that. And then that motivated me to go to a lot of demonstration too.
I think my family, we've always talked about climate and the environment at dinner. So I've always sort of been interested in it. And then I heard about Greta Thunberg, and suddenly there was a place where I could meet people who also thought that the climate crisis was a very serious problem. And there was a place where I could be engaged in climate action and climate activism. So yeah, all of a sudden there was this movement that I could be a part of in this community where I could be an activist.
And why do you think that what you do is important? Why is it important?
We were in a climate and biodiversity crisis. Animals die at a rate of 100 to 1,000 times faster than they did last century. They don't just die, they go extinct. And the temperatures are rising. The United Science says so, and I think that's pretty important because it's something that affects all of us and everyone's welfare and well-being, not just humans, also animals, plants, ecosystems. Yeah, it's our entire world.
Yeah, that's affected by this, yeah.
Well, I think it's also not only myself or Cecil who's affected by this, but a lot of generations in the future will be affected by this. So it would be selfish for us to say that we don't care about the future, because it's our children that's gonna live with this problem.
This project that we are working with, that we're doing this interview about, called Global Roots, it's directed at primary education in schools. What role do you think that sustainable development plays in schools today, in primary schools?
Today, I don't think it plays a very big role. I think it should do, but I don't think it does right now. In the, I'm not sure what it's called, but the primary schools goal paragraphs, they already say that green development is something that children should learn about, and it says that the school must prepare its students for future challenges. So I think it should really teach us about the climate crisis, because that's a challenge our generation will definitely face. It should be a challenge that the adult generation now we're facing, and they're also doing that, but not enough in my opinion. So I think it's very important that the school teaches us and gives us tools, because you can't really act upon a crisis you don't know enough about, and we have to act on this crisis, so we also have to learn about it.
So it's already in the school agenda, it's already in the key goals of the school curricula. How do you think that, because I agree what you say, that it doesn't play a big role in schools. In some schools it does. But how do you think that you can support that sustainable development will have a bigger role in primary education?
I mean, we've made a campaign called Climate on Schedule, and its goal is that climate becomes sort of like a subject between the other subjects. So it's like something you have in history and in Danish and in English, and not just physics and chemistry, because the climate crisis isn't just about CO2 graphs that goes upwards. It's also about huge amounts of refugees that lose their home because global warming affects the global south the most, even though there are the people who they haven't contributed to the global warming at the same level as people in the west as us. So it's also about inequality, it's about a lot of things, and I think it's important that the school teaches us about all the climate crisis aspects.
And so it can be integrated into the different subjects in school.
And I also think it's important because a lot of young people, when you hear about the sixth mass extinction and when you hear about all these things that are going to happen and already do happen, then you can become quite terrified. So I think it's important that the students are, that we are taught about it, so we get tools to act on it, so we're not just left hopelessly. So we don't get climate anxiety.
That's a very big thing.
Yeah.
Fridays for Future is also an activist organization. You're working with activistic solutions. You want to make a change. What can you do to make things more on the agenda? And what can you as an organization contribute?
There's a lot of ways to make activism. For example, by making campaigns like Climate on Schedule, where we talk to politicians and we go on school visits to talk to the class. I think it has a huge effect when you talk to people at your own age. And yeah, there are a lot of ways. Lobbyism, caulk actions. There's a guy here in Vibor, he always walks around and write with caulk on the sidewalks. And I think that's actually very effective, because every time someone walks past, they read it, and even though they just think about it for 5 seconds, they still thought about it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways that activistic organizations can affect climate agenda.
And we talked about the Global Roots Project is also about art and culture. And we're looking at how art and culture can contribute to sustainable development. How can art and culture play a role? Is this something that you have worked with?
We have been making banners for climate demonstrations where we sit together and we make them together. So that kind of gives us this community, if you could say that. We also have this climate choir where a lot of people, they have joined it, and they sing a lot of climate songs specifically made for climate demonstrations. Yeah.
And what do you think that a song can do? How can a song contribute?
Well, it can unite people.
It creates a lot of community, and I think it's essential to feel as a part of a community, because activism can be very hard sometimes. It's not always fun, and it's a very serious subject that we're doing activism about. I mean, the climate crisis is a very serious subject, so So sometimes it's quite demotivating to work with all these climate crisis scenarios. So I think that to be a part of a community is really, really important to keep one going. I don't think I could be an activist alone.
That would be hard. Yeah. Yeah. All the pressure. Mm-hmm. Just, that would be
you
hard.
Also had an experience at the National Art Gallery in Copenhagen. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yes, we were invited, Fridays for Future were invited to have an art talk at their, I think it was the Culture Night, it's called. And then we were talking about this artwork called Melting Time. It's Melting Time written in ice blocks, and then the artwork melts in 12 hours, and then it's made again. So it sort of shows the climate crisis in a very, like, physical, real way. And I think it's very interesting that you can express your activism in other ways than writing an essay or demonstrating in front of the place where the politicians are.
Yeah.
I think that's that gives something else to it, that you can express it through art or through poetry or through songs.
If you should give one good advice to the teachers in school, what would that be concerning sustainable development?
I don't think I have an advice to the teachers, like, singularly. I have an advice to the entire school system that I think that the climate should be an integrated part in all the subjects, because the climate crisis is an intersectional crisis. So it's really important that we as a generation get the tool to handle it and to stop it from escalating more than it already has. So my advice would be to get climate on the schedule.
I think that was it for now. Thank you very much for having this interview and talk about sustainable development in primary education. And I admire what you do.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To find out more about the Global Roots Project, please visit globalroots.eu.